Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts and minds of your people, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I have to do a little confession here this morning. I avoid John the Baptist. I don't know. There's something about John the Baptist that I avoid. Maybe it's because I was a Baptist. I don't know. I've had lots of prayer time to try to discern this, and I think it's probably because it seems sort of repetitive to me. We just preached about John the Baptist a few weeks back before the end of the last liturgical year, and here we are again. Advent. Advent has four Sundays, right? Last Sunday, this Sunday, next Sunday, and then the one right before Christmas. Out of those four Sundays, two of the week's lessons revolve around, you guessed it, John the Baptist. And, you know, I just kind of go, okay, I don't know what else to say about this guy. You know, it's kind of, he's kind of a woolly figure. He's, if you don't know about John the Baptist, he dresses in furs and he runs around in the wilderness like it talks about in our Luke 3 chapter. He eats this funky food, locusts and wild honey, and he's out there in the desert. We don't know a lot about him. Archaeologists think maybe he was a part of the Qumran community, if you know about the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that stuff. And he's just a strange guy. And he comes with this really fierce message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. You brood of vipers, he'll say in the gospel reading next week. And things like that. They just sort of chafe. And it's such a sharp contrast to Jesus' birth, isn't it? I mean, you got John, and then you get Jesus. And I prefer Jesus personally, you know. he's just the nativity is such a great story, and the angels on high. As a matter of fact, we're all set up for the angelic host because this morning Daryl was changing light bulbs, and it'd be great to have an angel up there, wouldn't it? Up above the cross there, you can actually behold, I bring you good tidings. But we got to deal with John. We can't rush on to Jesus. We have to deal with John the Baptist. And so I really set my mind on preaching on Philippians, but Lourdes and I got our wires crossed, and so she not only gave me one lesson from Luke on John the Baptist, but two. And so the die was cast, so you know, I knew that I had to preach on John. And so I've been really wrestling with John the Baptist this week and really trying to look at this with fresh eyes, asking the Lord to give me a fresh insight into the person of John the Baptist. And I think he's done that. And where I want to begin is really to remind you of the story of John the Baptist. I think one of the things as a preacher, as a teacher, what you try to do is find application. And you try to find things that fit people's lives that apply of the person you're reading about in Scripture. And John is different. I don't know that we're so much supposed to identify with John as we're supposed to recognize that John is in fact a gift of grace. Now, if you don't know the story of John the Baptist, his father, Zechariah, who actually the second lesson you've got there is the prayer, it's the psalm, it's the song, the rejoicing prophecy of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And it comes when his tongue is loosed and he's able to say, yes, we'll name him John, for he's a prophet of the Most High. But the way the story begins is that Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, is older. She's up there in age. She's beyond childbearing years. And she and Zechariah have longed for a child for many, many years. And Zechariah's time comes. He's of the house of Levi, of the Israelites. So he gets to go into the temple and work there. And he's at the altar of incense. And an angel appears to Zechariah and says, your prayer has been answered. You're going to have a son. But this is not just going to be your son. This is not just the blessing of your family. This son is going to be a blessing for all people. He is going to be the messenger, the heralder of the Messiah, the promised son of David, the king of Israel. He's going to bring salvation to his people. But there's much, much more that's said about John in this first verses. Just let me read. These aren't in the verses you've got today, but here's what the angel says. He says to Zechariah, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear a son. You shall name him John, and you will and you will be glad and have joy in your heart. For many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Now, I don't know about you, but I was not filled with the Holy Spirit in my mother's womb. That's a pretty unique statement. The filling of the Holy Spirit came on John even in utero. So he's a very, very grace-filled person who's living with the Spirit of God filling him even from his birth. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. That's what the angel said of John. What I want to say to you this morning is that I don't think we're supposed to so much identify with John, we're supposed to be like John. It's we're supposed to recognize that God's grace is all over John, even in utero. He is being filled with the Spirit, set apart for this very special task of drawing the hearts of the fathers to their children, the disobedient to the righteous, preparing a people for God's Messiah, for the coming of Jesus. John is the gift of grace. Like all the prophets of the Old Testament, which he stands in line with, the last and greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, he is a gift of grace, his life. We aren't given that. Not all of us are called and filled with the Spirit from our wombs. Most of us are not. And it's a unique calling that's on John's life. He is a unique gift of grace. Now, if he is a gift of grace, not so much to be recognized and try to identify with, but to try to see that this is something very unique that God's doing, then so is his message a gift of grace. What is it that we're told in Luke chapter 3 that John has come to do? Once you get through all those hard words that aren't you glad I had to read and not you this morning? When you look at past all those, you see that John is coming to around the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance, if you've been around the church at any length, you know. But if you've not, you don't know. But the repentance is simply this image of you're heading in one direction and you turn around and go in the complete opposite direction, 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And that's that turning away from our old life and the things that are broken, that are causing destruction in our lives, and to return to God. And that's the message that John is proclaiming. You need to repent. You need to turn. You're not ready to receive the Lord. Now, just a practical illustration of this. If I found out tomorrow that President Obama was going to come to my house, that he was going to visit me, he would not just show up a week or 2 weeks or whenever the appointed time on his own, would he? No, he would send some Secret Service men and some very highly specialized folks who would instruct me on how to prepare myself to receive the President of the United States. I guarantee you, the farmers are not ready to receive the President. He would tell us to clean some things up. He would probably instruct us to, you know, do some things different here. He'd, you know, it'd be instructions to our neighbors not to, you know, to get their grass cut and all this kind of stuff and all these things. And there would be a massive amount of preparation. Why? Because I am not ready to receive the President. The gift of grace and sending John was to say to the people, look, you're not ready to receive the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah. And so I'm sending this one ahead of you. This is my grace to you to call you to repentance, to prepare your hearts. Now, here's the thing that I think is really just mind-blowing for me again today to hear. John is a gift of grace. He's a work of the Holy Spirit. His message is a gift of the grace, the work of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, even the ability to recognize that we need to change our lives, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Even your coming to a realization that you need to change, that there's sin that needs to be dealt with in your life, even that is the gift of God. When I was a new Christian, I was trying to have a prayer time. I was trying to pray, and I try to set aside time, as new Christians are told, to pray every day. And inevitably, I would begin to pray, and as I prayed, I would find my mind wandering off, you know, into the to-do list of the day, or to something else I was looking forward to, or whatever it was be. And I would beat myself up because I couldn't stay to task. I couldn't focus on prayer. And you know, maybe some of you struggle with that in a sermon. You know, you're trying to listen, and then your mind kind of wanders off to something else, you know, whatever that might be. But I would beat myself up over the fact that I couldn't stay concentrated. And a wise older Christian pulled me aside, heard me complaining about this, and they said, you know, rather than focusing on the fact that you keep wandering off, focus on the fact that the Holy Spirit is reminding you, hey, you're supposed to be over there. You're supposed to be focusing on God. Remember prayer time, God, you know, and bringing me back. And that was, in fact, the Holy Spirit whispering to me, hey, Alex, turn back to God. It totally transformed my prayer life to know that it's God who's directing me back to Him, even when I struggle, when I wander off in my prayer time. That repentance, just like John and his message, are gifts of God. I heard a story of a defensive football player one time who collided with a receiver. The ball came out. The ball was on the ground. The defensive player grabbed the ball up after he kind of came to, and because of where the intercept or the drop ball happened, he was able to pick the ball up and began to run with all his might towards the goal line. Just before he crossed the plains, one of his own players tackled him and brought him to the ground. Now, you would probably, like me, be pretty upset by that. Until the player realized that he, in fact, was running to the wrong end zone. I want to suggest to us this morning that the grace of God is much greater than we can imagine. Sometimes the grace of God is a sweet whisper and a gentle nudging back. And sometimes it's a little more forceful. I want to suggest that the grace of God looks like John the Baptist at times. It comes either in a circumstance or a person who tackles us violently and says, wake up. Wake up. You're heading in the wrong direction. And turns us around. And it's hard to hear those voices. It's hard to receive those people. It's hard not to think of a John the Baptist and to get a little upset that he's picking on us and he's pointing out our faults and he's causing us to feel uncomfortable. And, you know, I think God would be more gentle than you are, John. Why are you so rough? And yet, as we meditate on this passage, this preparing messenger, John the Baptist, what I see is that this is a gift of God. This is the grace of God. Even the ability to repent is a gift of God. And sometimes He has to grab us up or tackle us or cause circumstances in our lives to become so violent that we wake up. I'll be honest, some of the most important moments in my life have been low, low points where God didn't seem to have my back and let me get into a mess of trouble. But, you know, in hindsight, it woke me up and I saw reality again. The prophet Isaiah says that every mountain will be brought low, every low place raised, every crooked road straightened, so that all might see God's salvation. The challenge for us in this Advent, in our preparation for the Christ, is to see, even in some of those rough, hard, downer moments, the gift of repentance, the Spirit of God tackling us and calling us to go another way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Of the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.